In the 2010s, Wish ads were everywhere. Ads for the strangest and cheapest items were on every social media. They were inescapable. A cat face mask, a chicken helmet, a $10 drone, and stuff that's much, much stranger. Weird Wish ads became its own subgenre on YouTube. Yet, the story behind the company might be even stranger. Billions in revenue, Facebook investments, even a secret meeting with Jeff Bezos. It seemed Wish would be the next big thing. But their share price has crashed 99% and has stayed there for years. So, what happened to Wish? Wish was a very strange platform. It was described as the dollar store of the internet, but it's more complicated than that. The company's actual name is ContextLogic and was founded as far back as 2010. It was started by a former software engineer at Google, Peter Sholzewski, who helped build algorithms for Google Ads. You see, the original idea and why Sholzewski got millions in VC funding was the technology. After leaving Google, he spent 6 months coding software that can predict someone's interests based on browsing behavior and then match a potential product. Keep in mind, this was in 2010 and this technology wasn't nearly as prevalent as it is today. After raising $1.7 million in funding, Sholzewski was offered $20 million from Facebook to integrate the algorithm into their own ad system, but he turned it down. Investors were furious, with some of them even storming into Sholzewski's office and shouting at him. But he had bigger plans. He pivoted his company to wishwall.me, and it wasn't even an e-commerce site, just a wish list, which promised rewards, free items, and discounts. Users would just browse curated products you couldn't even buy and wishlist items. It was essentially the Instagram of window shopping. People just like scrolling, and somehow Wishwall got a lot of users. Sholzewski realized he was onto something, so he began cold emailing dozens of merchants, offering them a massive pool of buyers if they could cut the price by 10 to 20%. The most shocking part is that Wish wouldn't take a commission, and to his surprise, many suppliers agreed. Wish quickly became one of the biggest marketplaces on earth, but was essentially a glorified middleman. The products came from low-cost manufacturers in China, and Wish handled none of the inventory or fulfillment. But still, why not take a cut? They were introducing millions of customers to these products after all. Well, Wish was on the typical tech startup roadmap: get as many customers as possible, chase growth, and figure out profits later. Many do this to position themselves for an acquisition, so they can grow a company, spend a lot of investor funding, and they all get a big payout. But not Wish, which gives us one of the most baffling decisions from Sholzewski. Wish was growing fast, and in 2016, he was invited to a secret meeting with Jeff Bezos at the Amazon headquarters. We don't know exactly what happened because he had to sign an NDA and there were plenty of lawyers present, which paints a pretty clear intention: an acquisition. Sholzewski said that there was an agenda to the meeting. With Wish's amazing technology, they wanted in. It was rumored the offer was $10 billion. For added context, Bezos was Sholzewski's idol. This was the perfect opportunity. But despite all that, something unexpected happened. Sholzewski turned down the offer. He told Bezos he had no intention of selling Wish. But Amazon wasn't the only one ready to buy. The Chinese giant Alibaba was also interested and offered the same price, $10 billion. To make things even more interesting, Wish was only valued by investors at $3 billion. So these were definitely good offers. So why turn it down? Well, sometimes founders have a grander vision and think they can grow beyond the offer. Snapchat was offered $3 billion by Facebook, and while they didn't grow as big, they have grown much bigger with a market cap of $15 billion and are now profitable. So what about Wish? Well, according to an insider, Sholzewski thought he could grow his startup to at least $100 billion in gross sales, or one quarter the revenue of Walmart. If he could, Wish would be worth much more than $10 billion. Very ambitious, and to his credit, things began to take off very soon. Wish's revenue grew and grew. In 2018, it doubled to $1.9 billion, putting its valuation at $8.7 billion, and it was the most downloaded shopping app worldwide. Their user count was going up and up, and that year they passed 400 million users and became the third biggest e-commerce marketplace in the US by sales. In fact, every year they were adding 100 million users. In 2019, Joseffsky said to investors that they should expect an IPO in the next 1 to 2 years, and sure enough, the momentum continued. Wish raised another $1.1 billion in their IPO, pushing their total value to $14.1 billion. Wish was riding high, but pretty soon, that was about to change. Just like Wish gamed the ad system to flood your feed with the junk, the news you see every day is shaped by similar algorithms, designed for engagement, not truth. That's why I use today's sponsor, Ground News. Ground News is a platform that lets you compare how different outlets, left, center, and right, cover the same story. You can track media bias, see who owns which outlet, and even monitor your own reading habits to avoid echo chambers. For example, Temu is basically the new Wish, explosive growth, dirt cheap prices, and ads everywhere. But behind the scenes, its parent company just reported a 47% drop in profits, thanks to the US-China trade war. Ground News tracked 42 outlets covering the same story, and the headlines were all over the place. Some praised the tariffs as encouraging domestic competition, while others painted Temu as the victim of this unnecessary war. 41% of sources leaned right, often emphasizing national security and trade toughness. Meanwhile, left and center outlets focused more on inflation and economic uncertainty. That's why I use Ground News. It doesn't just show you what's happening, it shows you how different sides are spinning the same facts so you can see the full picture. Ground News was also just named a 2025 Apple Design Award finalist in the social impact category. With algorithms feeding you more of what you already believe, staying informed has never been harder or more important. Ground News is one of the few tools that actually puts you back in control. Head to Ground News for a better way to stay informed. Subscribe for 40% off the Unlimited Access Vantage plan for worldwide coverage that's only $5 a month. This offer is only available by scanning my QR code or using the link in the description, ground.news/logically. Thank you to Ground News for supporting our videos. This is a good time to talk about those strange Wish ads. 3-day six-pack cream, a cat mask, a USB-powered pregnancy test. Ads for the weirdest products were everywhere. So, why? This is what Wish was good at. The algorithms could match products to users based on their browsing behavior. But here's where things got a little weird. Browsing behavior can mean a lot of things. So, strange ads that you can't help but stop and look at or even click, which tells the algorithm those were succeeding ads, pushed them even further. Wish's ad campaigns were optimized to drive traffic and clicks, not necessarily conversions. So, why were these ads everywhere? Wish was spending big, big money on digital ads. In fact, they were the largest ad spender on Facebook and Instagram, and one of the biggest on Google. Wish was growing very fast, but there was a big, big problem underpinning all of this growth. Wish wasn't profitable. You might think, sure, they were chasing growth, but there's unprofitable, and then there's Wish. Their profit margins were negative 100%. Negative 100. For every $1 they earned, they spent 2. So the more their revenue went up, the further down their earnings went. Sure, they had billions in funding, but pretty soon they needed to figure out how to make a return. But time was about to run out with what came next.
We have a new name for the coronavirus. The World Health Organization has officially called it COVID-19.
While everyone was stuck inside, retail and physical businesses were dying, but online shopping exploded. But isn't that good for Wish? Well, not exactly. You see, digital ad spend quickly went up. More and more companies began pouring money into online advertising, as this was the only way to advertise to new customers. Competitors were pouring into Wish's marketing strategy, or rather their only strategy. On Google Ads and Facebook Ads, when more companies are bidding for keywords, the price of that keyword goes up. Now, imagine that on a global scale, Wish's unique and frankly only strategy was falling apart. They were already unprofitable when ad spend was good. Now the return on ad spend was even worse, meaning it was the perfect storm. In 2020, Wish reached a revenue peak of $2.5 billion, but that marked their biggest loss, over $600 million. Then, for the very first time, Wish's sales began to drop, by $500 million in 2021, then by another $1.5 billion in 2022. It's very funny if you compare their revenue and profit, because of their negative margins, it looks as though Wish makes more money the less revenue they make. But to make matters worse, there was another problem. People weren't loyal to Wish. They were loyal to the deals and absurd prices. It's hard to build loyalty on price compared to, say, a unique experience like Amazon's incredible fulfillment and fast delivery. Customers will just leave when they find something cheaper like Temu, and if they don't, they will because of the horrendous customer experience. When I said they prioritize growth over everything, I mean everything. It probably won't surprise you to hear that Wish was full of scams. Smart TVs for $1, gaming computers for $1.30, scam stores were rampant on Wish. One person who ordered a $70 tablet received a small stand and a note in broken English saying it was coming. Of course, it never did. Many of these scams sold real products, brought in a lot of 5-star reviews, then swapped out the same product for a terrible cheap replica in order to scam customers and to make a return. But this is where things take a darker turn. One of them was called a Best Deal 9, which was created by Wish themselves. They had created this fake store to track whether customers would complain if their orders never arrived. Employees working on the project pushed executives to remove the store, calling it unethical and illegal. But it remained active for months, and over 213,000 people made purchases from the store. And that's just one tiny example. To make matters worse, unlike Amazon, Wish had virtually zero customer support. So if you got scammed, you needed to wait over 3 months before you could even appeal for a refund. This might be expected from some shady marketplace, but Wish was a multi-billion dollar company, yet they had zero concern for customers. These scam stores were everywhere, and after a while, people were simply done shopping on Wish. Wish began to finally introduce some accountability. In 2022, the company said it had started a fresh organizational chapter. Some new executives had just joined from Google and Shutterfly and began to make some changes. An app redesign was underway and they tried to improve the response time of customer service, but it was too little, too late. People had moved on, the brand was already tarnished and many customers had moved elsewhere. In September 2022, a competitor would appear in Wish's territory, Temu. They were a new company, but by no means a small player. They were backed by the Chinese giant Pinduoduo, which had a market cap of $170 billion. Temu had much, much more money, basically infinite, and just 5 months after launching, Temu ran two ads during the 2023 Super Bowl. This made Temu the youngest brand to ever run a Super Bowl ad. It was Wish, but better, more legit, more resources, and direct from suppliers. Wish, on the other hand, had been losing money for over a decade and were beginning to run out. Hundreds of employees were being laid off and revenue was in freefall, and their share price would fall over 99%. Their monthly active users fell from over 100 million in 2020 to just 12 million. That year, they only saw 5 million new signups, compared to the annual 100 million from a few years ago. Around this time, Jozefsky stepped down as CEO as investors were getting tired, and soon came the inevitable. In early 2024, ContextLogic sold Wish for $173 million to the Southeast Asian e-commerce company Qoo10. Pitiful compared to their original $10 billion offer, but it was the right time to sell, or rather, their last chance to sell. The acquisition was at $6.50 per share, a 44% premium, which in their circumstance was actually pretty good. With Temu growing, the buyout offers would only get worse and worse. I should also note, Qoo10 themselves would end up going bankrupt by the end of 2024. I'm sure Zolzevsky wished he took the $10 billion from Bezos or Alibaba. Wish hadn't scaled for sustainable or long-term success. Just growth by any means necessary. Growth without loyalty or profits. But I will note, it was just Wish that was sold, not Context Logic. Context Logic was still independent, so what happened to them? Well, Wish was a money sink, and when it went, so did many of their liabilities. Context Logic is now a very different company, much smaller and no longer an e-commerce company at all. In Q1 of 2025, Context Logic reported a net loss of $4 million. Not good, but much better than the $59 million they lost the same time last year. It seems they're still trying to figure out what to do. They have $2.7 billion of net operating loss carryforwards, which means they don't need to pay taxes on future profits for a long, long time. That is, if they even make money again. The board said they were looking for a financial sponsor to help the company realize the value of its tax assets, and if they can't, return all capital to shareholders. If I were to make a bet, it would be on the latter. Zolzevsky now owns a new venture called Maggie Inc., but it seems he's staying away from the public eye and e-commerce altogether. Since 2017, we've published over 1,050 videos and racked up 156 million views. Yet, somehow, we still haven't reached 1 million subscribers. That conversion rate is even worse than Wish's negative 100% margins. If you've been watching without subscribing, I would really appreciate it if you hit the subscribe button so that we can finally make 1 million a reality. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.